Levels here, which we're trying to do right now. And hello, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. This is North Shore Sport Night. North Shore Sports Night, that's a plural, Sports Night, on MSO News Sports. And welcome, glad you are with us, and glad Coach Kearns, you're with us also.
I'm sitting here.
You're sitting there, all right. Okay, not in studio once again, but that's coming in the foreseeable future, man. And it's been... You know, it's been a year, Tim, so here we are.
I know. Everybody's marking time by, you know, the year since the COVID started shutting things down. You know, people unable to go, to travel, things like that. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of like, you know, you remember where you were for us old enough when JFK was shot. When the towers were attacked, you remember just where you were. And for a lot of people nowadays, they're marking recent time by, it's been a year since we went out to eat, a year since, you know, we traveled out of state, a year since we did a whole lot of other things.
That's a good point, Coach. You know, it was on March 11th, I believe it was, because Friday was the 13th. That Bill and I were at the Garden covering the basketball playoffs, and I think they were the semifinals at that point. That's how we mark it. You are 100% correct. And what's interesting is that we now are talking about high school football, and that's going to be our major focus tonight, along with other stuff, as we get into Fall 2. I'd also like to point out that the Salem News sports writers, along with the Gloucester Times sports editor, we have that video up there with Bill Newell. Bill talks with everybody on the weekend, and then we post it on Monday. So a lot of good stuff there, anchored by, of course, Phil Stacey. So please, you're going to check on that. It's right here on this post as well. We'll be talking with Beverly High School football coach Andrew Morenci tonight, and Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan to get things started. Got a bunch of coaches lined up this week. We've got some sports editors lined up this week, along to go with our news interviews. And what's nice for us, Tim, and by the way, Gary Larrabee and Mike Grenier, of course, our regulars, will also be joining us this evening on golf and basketball, respectively, as well as other stuff. But what's nice, Coach, is that as spring is you know, on the horizon now, and the vaccine is on the horizon, our traffic is picking up here in MSO. So we're getting some of our visitors back, and I think we're going to be able to broadcast some games here very soon.
Well, you know, hope so, though. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out with seating arrangements and how many they're going to allow from any media source into the broadcast booth. I know that Beverly's not going to have a facility talking to a buddy of mine, Rich Francis, who is going to be covering the game. And they told, you know, they're going to be at field level because they're going to play on the turf field at the high school.
Well, let me ask you, could you not, if I gave you a headset, just use the telescope and broadcast from your bedroom? Just saying.
I could maybe ask if they'll let me go up on the roof at the high school.
Okay. All right. And we've got Beverly's schedule here. They're going to open up, interestingly enough, at Marblehead, which is, you know, looms to be a great game. And that's one of the places we have a very difficult time broadcasting from because there is no press box. And it's hard to do it in the stands in good weather, never mind when the weather is, you know, the wind chill is below zero. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to do much about that. But we'll be talking with Jim Rudloff later on, but we will be talking with Coach Morenci here in just a few minutes. Tim, why don't we take a break and get started, and I'll get Coach Morenci right on the line here.
Let's do that.
All right, let's do that. Wish me luck, because I'm going in. Let's see what happens here. This is North Shore Sports Night, and let's see if we can get this to work. Be right back.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right. Very happy to bring back Beverly High School football coach Andrew Morenci. Coach, we talked just before Thanksgiving. Tim Kearns is here, and you know Tim very well, of course. Welcome back to MSO in this strange, strange time.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Tim. It's good to hear from you again. You know, it's nice to be back, and I'm excited to talk football.
Coach, there's somebody...
You know, Rick's going to cut me off at the pass. I was going to give you a ring probably tomorrow, Wednesday, to set up our first edition of Panther Preview.
Looking forward to it. That sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah.
And, you know, guys, I was going to try to start this conversation off, Coach, by pretending that it was the beginning of a normal football season, but I just can't. I can't do it. So, I just can't.
I tell you, when you're on the field, it feels normal again.
Good. You know, well, that's what I want to ask you. Tell me about that, because you guys have been out there a week now or so. What's it like?
Well, you know, as far as the preparation prior to the practice and after, it is definitely different. There's no doubt about it. You know, the way you arrive, the way you leave. Without locker rooms, and you know, we're still using the Zoom presence more than ever, and Google Meet, and so all those virtual things still exist. But you know, when you get on the field and you start playing, it all comes back pretty quick. And you know, certainly you're always spraying, you're always cautious, you're 6 feet in masks, but it is just really great to get back in the swing of it again. It feels awesome.
Coach, you don't have the guy running around out there every time there's a display at the end of the play, he sprays everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, here's the flag, 10 yards, no spray.
Yeah, right. I know. Should be fun. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but tell me about that, Andrew, the getting the guys back out there. We just finished up talking with the basketball and hockey coaches, and to a person, they said that the great thing was just being out there, and this is such a historic time. There is that feeling, isn't there, Andrew, about how special this is to be able to play and to be able to be safe, because this was close to being a major disaster.
Well, that's a great point, because I think now that, you know, it's actually happening, I kind of see it in the same perspective where now that we're close to getting to the season, and it looks like it's all gonna, you know, it's all falling into place. It inevitably is kind of opening up an opportunity for a special year, a special, maybe an opportunity to be, you know, that remembered for something beyond maybe the regular schedule, you know, the regular year. Now all of a sudden you have a unique situation where if you're successful, it adds a little bit to that. So it definitely is looking like it's going to present a great opportunity for the kids who have been waiting really hard, you know, waiting a long time to get back. So I'm happy for them for that opportunity, how it's working out.
Tim?
Coach, how many weeks is this going to go? How many games are you going to play?
So we have a 7-game schedule, and the way they did it is great. You know, it's all traditional NEC teams. You know, with the JVs and the freshmen, we're all lined up. You know, we have a scrimmage this Saturday versus Harrell, so... You know, things are in motion. And like I was saying, it really feels, you know, like it, all the guys, I'm lucky this year we have a veteran team. So the guys, the seniors are just, they're over the moon, you know, they're just so happy. So.
Do the kids realize that they're a diagnosis of someone with COVID away from having the season canceled, like they saw with Georgetown?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that there is so many, you know, like, you know, there are, you know, like I was saying, how you arrive and how you leave, and when you're waiting and the 6 feet and the mask, and, you know, we're not going to be able to dress everybody. And, you know, it's certainly swirling around. And, so, you know, there's no guarantees at all, for sure. But, you know, it's funny, just being out there getting closer and closer, kids are realizing what's at stake a little bit. You know, maybe it's helping them focus a little bit more when they're not on the practice field. It's because more reality. So I definitely don't think they're losing the eyes on the prize here, and they're being, I'd like to believe they're being cautious. We certainly are at practice, you know, so we're hoping that's going to be enough.
Andrew, every kid on your team knows someone who played sports from September on. So every if they didn't themselves, so
right.
they know how to comport themselves. They know what they're supposed to do, because all the coaches I've talked with, including Matt Karakoudis and others, have said that the kids know it, and they're honoring and they're doing, because they want to play and they want to be healthy. They want to keep it going. So you know it. To me, it's like they've got that experience, and now, in a way, you can actually concentrate on football.
Right. You know, that's right. I do think that the other sports going first and being successful was huge for us. Huge. I mean, I don't think we would have had our season unless that had happened. And especially in Beverly, it's gone pretty smoothly, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's working hard. But, you know, you're one away for sure, but I do definitely agree with that, like how the precedent has been set, mm-hmm. and the kids now, they, you know, they can do it too, sort of thing. So,
well, that's one of the things that Rick and I talked to with the coaches, and last week especially, we were talking to Matt, was we lauded the efforts on the part of the administrations, athletic directors, coaches, and the players for being so dutiful in doing the best that they could to maintain to the standards set by the MIAA in order to keep the seasons going.
Right. And I do think that, so just following programs around the country, I think the fall seasons, there were several states that had successful fall high school football seasons, and some of the things they learned, you know, following some of them on Twitter, and it was another thing that showed that it's possible. Like, I just remember reading an article how in Wisconsin, their high school football, they had a great fall. You know, they had football in the fall. And with some of the things they did and blah, blah, blah. So, like, that's when it really, you know, kids are, you know, we would have our meetings and I would share with them. I'm like, see, listen, there are places right now playing football, high school football. You know, and if you go by these things. And then we started around here with soccer and Witten, and then, so I think that it is gradually for the kids, it's become more and more real. I think that they had lost a little bit of hope for a while there, but they definitely, of course, everybody's just gung-ho. So, but there's a lot to it. Like you said, this is a definitely unique time for sure.
Coach, I want to talk about the replacement aspect of the field coming up, but you guys are going to be practicing and playing right there at the high school on the turf field?
Sure, yeah. Yes. Yep.
So
it's good, you know, no herd, so.
Yeah. So what's that like over there? How's that, what's the difference? I mean, a football field is a football field, I suppose.
That's right. That's right. It's a little bittersweet, you know, because certainly for us being able to play on the field that you practice, and we love to, you know, high school kids love turf, you know, of course. And it's, you know, it's a nice place, you know, the whole thing with the Beverly High and its campus is pretty nice. You get the neighborhoods there. So it's a nice spot. And like for me as a coach, practically, it's fantastic being able to play and coach on the same field. It's awesome. That's something that I haven't had yet. I haven't practiced I haven't had that through my career. So I think it's such an advantage. But on the other hand, it's herd, you know.
Right.
You know, it's herd
yep,
stadium,
yep.
And that offers a whole new perspective. I will say this. You know, I'm trying to look at, of course, we were disappointed, but I feel like sometimes going to herd, it's such a entity in itself. It's such a big game place, and we never really practice on it. And so what would happen, I felt like sometimes it felt more like a neutral site as far as
interesting.
The kids were kind of like so psyched. Mm-hmm. Like it was like so big, and all of a sudden maybe we didn't play as tight or were we as comfortable like that home cooking you would like.
Wow.
So I'm just kind of looking at it. Maybe there could be a silver lining because, you know, you always want to play at a place like Herd.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we feel very lucky that we have a turf field to even go to as a backup. So even having that is awesome.
That's good. You know? Tim?
Now, you're not making it easy for the media to cover the games since we have no elevated.
Well, no.
I'm telling Rick, I'm
Tim,
talking, Francis was going to be doing the Beverly cable game thing. And he was like, hey, can you get me a platform or something?
Well, you know what, Tim? I think that you're seeing it with practices along the street up above. You can look down.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to get crowds up there. So
cool.
I think that's where people start, you know, with the name, because the neighborhoods are right there, you know.
Yeah, those people finally have a view.
yeah, right. So anyway, should be interesting.
Coach, after a week or so of practice, you know, obviously we want to talk. Tim will talk with you about the kids and what you got coming back. But your opening game, man, that's going right into the fire over at Marblehead.
At Marblehead, you know, it's for us, it's, you know, lately, it hasn't been a good place for us. We seem to play there a lot. I don't know how the schedule works, but we've been there often. But which is fine, you know, but for the kids with the group that we have, they wouldn't have won it any other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know how these guys are, and they're just excited to get the, you know, one of the biggest games of the year, you know, game one, you know, mm-hmm. that's something that could be, you know, Marblehead, they're always prepared. Coach does a great job. We'll get to have our hands full, but like any competitive team that has seniors and everything else, the kids, site. This site's the challenge.
Tim, final question?
No, I'll probably, what would be a better day to get a hold of you, Coach? Wednesday?
Yeah, you know what? Thursday's a good day. Got Thursday afternoon for sure. Yeah.
That'll work.
Coach, great, awesome. Great talking with you again, man. It didn't look good back on Thanksgiving, but here we are, and you just reverse the weather pattern. You start cold, it'll get warm by the end. So looking forward to it, man. That sounds great, Coach.
Awesome, Rick. Tim, thank you very much.
Andrew, you going to practice on the trip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I know we're
I'll see you there.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Talk to you later.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is
Beverly High School football coach Andrew Morenci. They open up the season at Marblehead on March 12th. That will be a Friday game, TBA for the time, but I'm guessing it's probably 7, but it could be earlier. They're talking about doing 4 and 5 o'clock games on Fridays. Beverly will be home against Masquinomet. They'll be at Danvers the following week, March 26th, April 3rd. They will be home versus Gloucester. That's a 1 o'clock Saturday game. Following week, game 5 Saturday against Swampscott at home, 1 p.m. Game 6 is at Peabody at Veterans Stadium. That's a Friday game. And game 7 is the Thanksgiving Day game on April 24 versus Salem. I'm sorry. All right. I know. Okay, let's take a break. Come back with the Danvers High School football coach, Ryan Nolan. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back live here. Let me bring Tim back on the line here. We have the Danvers High School football coach, Ryan Nolan, on. And, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just really excited to be back out with the kids and, you know, getting ready for games, practicing. And, you know, it's been a lot colder this start of season, but it's been
yeah.
Enjoyable.
Just talked with Andrew Morenci over at Beverly High School. You guys both have the raspy voices, so you're getting your football voices back.
Oh, it's nice, and again, it's not very conditioned. We've had a long time off, so we're getting back into it and getting our voice boxes ready to go.
You know, there's so much to talk about, but, you know, in terms of getting back out on the field, getting stuff going and so on, what's a major difference, if there is a difficulty, in getting the kids started ramping up this quickly after the previous season? Because ordinarily, I'm sure the kids have been on the program anyway, but you got that summer conditioning thing where you get the kids in the heat with a couple of weeks to go before the season starts. This is a little bit different. You got to ramp this thing up pretty quickly.
That's true, but in some instances, we got a lot of kids that came off of basketball or hockey and came in great shape. So really impressed with that, them coming off of those seasons and being really well conditioned. And like you said, it's a short turnaround. We don't have the 7-on-7 before and the summer workout. So really got to jump into it and understand we're dealing with a short time frame and try to be organized and try to simplify things in the beginning for everybody. But, you know, still trying to make sure I teach the kids to block and tackle and you know, play hard and do things the right way, most importantly.
Mm-hmm. Tim, you with us?
Coach, this is going to be a little bit strange for you. Generally, as your season goes on, the weather gets worse. This year, the weather's actually going to get better.
Well, I know, Tim, I know you're a baseball coach, and I've coached baseball before, and, you know, it's something about going in there in those miserable days in the beginning, and then all of a sudden you hit February break, and every once in a while you get a couple 75-degree days in a row. It seems a long way off now, but we're going to get there eventually. And the one thing I think with the weather is our kids have been great, zero complaints, just going out there and working. Even that first day on the Monday when it was real treacherous and going out there and going hard for 2 hours, I've been really impressed with the kids over at Danvers. They've really made the best of things and no excuses and no complaining. And so we're real fortunate with the kids we have up there.
You know, certainly you guys, along with Beverly Marblehead and several other schools, you have the advantage of having the turf field, which doesn't give you that muddy quagmire that we used to have to play in.
Oh, yeah, I can remember playing on those and coaching on those, and we're really lucky. I don't really know how people would be able to do it on the grass field. I'm sure they are, but it's not just getting the snow off of it, but then allowing it to dry out and not ripping up the field so that the next rainstorm, it's 10 times as worse. So we consider ourselves real fortunate, and the DPW did such an unbelievable job in Danvers clearing the field early that we're very, very lucky, and we consider ourselves real fortunate.
Well, you know, it shows you how important that one last piece you mentioned, the DPW's clearing the field, because there were numerous pictures in the Salem News and Lead Item of the DPW crews cleaning off the football field so you guys could get started on time.
I mean, I'm really happy that our kids appreciate that. And it goes with the facilities that we have and the town that really cares to go out there and take care of that early. And they didn't just plow everything over to the side. They went and took all their trucks through with the back loaders and took all the snow off. So now we have a completely bare track and field, and we're really fortunate. I mean, we've got everything that we could ever ask for as far as the facilities and the town taking care of us. So we're really lucky.
Coach, like I told Coach Morenci, it's a little early to talk about the kids, but I can only find a schedule that has four league games on it with a scrimmage this week. Are you guys scheduled to play seven?
We're scheduled to play seven, so
okay.
We're going to play the four league games, and then
okay.
We have a Swamps kids, very good team. Winthrop, who I really think is going to be a very, very strong team this year, and then we have Gloucester for our last game
mm-hmm.
of the year as a traditional Thanksgiving rivalry.
And you got Masco to open up.
And Masco to open up, and we're scrimmaging Fenwick. So, you know, all rivalry-type games, and the kids are excited. And I think we're really excited because of the COVID and all the things that went wrong. We've been really fortunate that we have a couple of our former star players that have come back and volunteered coach with us and out there every day. So when you have guys like Matt Andreas and Russ Canova,
oh, wow.
MVPs.
Yeah, cool.
Super 26 players coming out every day and helping the kids. There's a real positive feeling going on, so it's an exciting time.
Most excellent. And are there any, I haven't asked this question yet, but are there any changes? Like with hockey, there were some minor changes on the ice. Any rules changes?
There's a lot of encouragement to space out the huddle. A lot of the stuff on the sideline, spacing out the sideline, and limiting the number of plays on the sideline to 45 is also something that's changed. But the mechanics, the rules of the on-field play, there's really not much
good.
Of a difference as of right okay. now. So football is football.
Gotcha.
One good thing, just thought of it, you know, at least you guys didn't go the way of hockey. You know, no checking and things like that. Imagine having no tackling.
Well, I wouldn't like that. It's not, you know, but hopefully we go out there, even if we're allowed to tackle, we tackle well. But, yeah, the rule changes don't impact too much in what happens between the lines on game day. A lot of it goes into the organization of practice and the drills and the spacing and a lot of the administrative work with tracking the kids and,
right.
and the things of that nature. But between the lines, I think when we go out and watch the game, it's going to look pretty similar, except for on the sidelines where the kids are going to be spaced out.
Have you got your whole staff back with you, Ryan?
Yeah, and we had staff back, and then we've been able to, we had a teacher in school, Joe Picard, who, he was captain over at, Endicott before and was a quarterback. He was with Beverly previously, but he teaches in the school and he came over with us. And then we were able to add Matt Andreas and Russell Canova on as well. So, we're really excited about the group we have working with the kids, and we're really excited about the kids too.
Absolutely. Tim, final question?
Well, Coach, just want to, you know, wish you the best of luck. I know, you know, you guys have the greatest motivation because you probably have the greatest support by the town people and the town fathers themselves to get behind not only a football team, but all the youth programs in town.
Yeah, I mean, I really think Danvers is a special place. And you look at the athletics that they have. You look at the Little League. To think that the town Danvers' size has American and national, and they're still so strong. And you look at hockey program, and you look at, you know, cross board wrestling, basketball, all these sports that have success, and just the strong support the town always has. I mean, our games, you show up, and it's packed. And that will be the biggest difference, that we're not going to have every seat in the bleachers filled when we play Marblehead or Beverly this year. It'll be a whole lot more quiet, but I mean, you couldn't ask for more as far as support from the town and from the administration. And I think I've said it before, but Mr. St. Pierre is about as good as of an athletic director as you could get. And during these tough times, he's battling to make sure that we do things the right way, but we're also getting supported as well.
And I think you could do what some of the pro teams are doing is just pipe in the fan sound.
Maybe we'll do that. You
get the cardboard cutouts, too, yeah.
We'll have to talk to him.
Hey, Andrew, Ryan, we're headed in the right direction, so let's go with that.
All right, well, we're excited. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the call.
All right, talk to you in a week or so, Coach. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that is Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, Mr. Everything, as always. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the sports writers in just a few seconds here, so please stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay. All right, we're back now with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and let me bring Tim back in here, and Tim is with us as well. And Gary, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. How you guys doing?
I'm all right. Tim?
Okay. Did you guys wear red jerseys yesterday for the final round at Braden in Florida in honor of Tiger?
I wear red underwear.
Oh, geez. You know, I have... You know what's funny, guys? I got to tell you this. I'm not a Tiger fan. I'm just not. But when that happened last week, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, I was praying, and I have been ever since, for him and his family. And I hope that he recovers and that he continues to be a good father and all that stuff. That just what a horrific, horrific thing.
We all do. We all do. Right, Tim?
Yes, sir. For sure. When tragedies like this happen to major personnel, and we think back to the, you know, the Princess Diana tragedy or the St. Stewart tragedy, how singular they seem to be, and and how much more, and epic's not the right word, but how much bigger those tragedies are because they're so well known, such a large part of the world population.
That's true. That's very true. The only thing I'm concerned about with this accident was, I'm thankful, I think, I'm sure everyone's thankful that he didn't have anybody else in the car. He didn't hit anybody coming the other way when he was crossing the street and going over that embankment and going down to that gully. He was obviously going too fast, and I got to anticipate they will at some point charge him with some kind of negligent driving, but we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out.
Yeah, I was just reading the story on what they know so far, and they haven't determined, well, they haven't released anyway, what they found and how fast he was going, but it was in a downhill section of a very steep and windy part of the road that he was traveling on. And obviously, you know, he had a very capable car, a very expensive sports utility, but again, not a race car, and again, he's not a race car driver, and he just exceeded his ability to maneuver it, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, these things have happened to a number of individuals, you know, both famed and not so famous. So we get a little too full of ourselves sometimes when we get into vehicles like that, but, you know, again, we have to wait and see what the determination is. But boy, he got, as you said, Gary, he got really lucky. One, there was nobody else in the vehicle, especially his kids. He didn't hit anybody in the oncoming traffic. But boy, did he shatter the pins, literally.
He did. But, of course, the next big question is, will he return to competitive golf at a very high level? And we will not have that question answered this year, I don't think. I think we may have it answered next year, possibly. He's an outstanding athlete. Don't forget, he's in great condition. He's an outstanding athlete, despite the fact he had a fifth back surgery. It's just a waiting game right now. Hopefully, he can make a full recovery, and and get his legs back in working order so we can play some competitive golf. But it won't be this year, that's for sure, guys.
Oh no, not at all. And I would say probably 2 years because. I mean, he literally shattered the bones. I mean, you know, there were breaks on break, and it's going to take a lot of time to mend. He's got pins and rods and everything else in there that's going to take serious time. He is aided by the fact that he is in such good physical condition, but he broke the bones. It isn't muscular. It's structural. And I think that's a whole other ballgame that he's going to have to find himself dealing with.
And I did read somewhere, guys, that it may take several months, and they don't know how many months, for the doctors who are taking care of him to make a determination what that prognosis may be. So we may not hear anything from the doctors. Who knows how many months before we find out if he'll ever play competitive
football
again. Well,
you know, guys,
long wait.
just to put a cap on it, I have a friend who was skiing, and he shattered his thigh bone into a whole bunch of places. And he was 9 months in a cast just for that one bone. So, he's got a long road back, but he's got the best care in the world. And as you pointed out, Gary, he's a great athlete.
Yeah, let's talk about some good news, though, on the golf side. We had some fantastic golf action over the weekend on the different tours. And we should certainly lead off with what happened at the big event yesterday down in Bradenton in Florida, where Colin Morikawa, who I've been talking about with you guys for a couple years about being one of the next great stars out in the tour, and he beat 47 of the top 50 players in the world who played in this tournament over the weekend down in Bradenton. So Colin Morikawa, very, very well-earned victory over a tremendous field of players. So good for him, but we should also talk about the Puerto Rican Open, which is like a secondary tournament, because the main tour event was being played, as I said before, in Bradenton, Florida, for a very select field of 70-odd players. Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born, Andover-bred, had his best finish in a long time, finishing tied for seventh, to shooting 274, 14 under. I think he finished five shots off the pace, but he won $91,000.
Whoa, all right.
And he's now won $251,000 combining last year with this year. He still has a long way to go. He's 132nd on the FedEx Cup list, but the top 100 players, you'll make it to the FedEx Cup playoffs come, I think it's in August this year. And because it's good to see Rob still making something happen out there, and he'll be back on the main event. I think he'll be playing again this week. He took a couple weeks off, and he's won like almost $3 million, guys, career wise. So he's making a few bucks off it off and on here, but hope he can keep it going. And I don't know if he'll make it to the Masters in the next 4 weeks, but he's on an upswing right now.
Gary, does it benefit players like him not play every single week, but to take a week or two weeks off in between tournaments to retool, to refine, and simply to rest and to come back and then be really focused going into a tournament and finish better and, you know, make the cuts and finish higher?
Well, Rob's a unique case. You may have read, last time I wrote about him last year in the paper, in the Salem News, he loves to play virtually every week, but of course he had a chance in this case to take a couple weeks off, spend the time at home with his family. He's got a wife and I think two kids in the Orlando area. And in this, he's a playerholic. And, he's rearing, I'm sure he'll be back at it this week. And in his case, he's a little bit different from most of the other players because he's also in a situation, Tim, where he needs to make some money and keep earning and just to stay alive here to try to, you know, maintain his playing card and to keep playing with the big boys. So Rob's a unique individual, but he's it was a good showing for him over the weekend. Of course, we also had Nelly Korda, one of the two Korda sisters, went on the LPGA Tour. And of course on the seniors tour we had Kevin Sutherland win in Tucson. You may have noticed, guys, where Phil Mickelson finished 11 shots back. And I would say Phil's on an extended slump right now. I don't know what he's doing, but it looks like I don't know if he'll be back on the regular tour or not. We know we'll see him at the Masters, and he's a 3-time Masters winner. But, Phil's not exactly knocking them all dead on the Champions Tour.
Hey, Gary, what did I read about Chris Francoeur? Is that his name?
Yes, Chris Francoeur from Amesbury. He's transferring from URI to the University of Louisville, which is more of a big-time, so-called big-time college program. Because as you know, guys, the NCAA gave all college golfers an extra year of eligibility because of they lost the entire virtually the entire 2020, both the spring and the fall, which is why, you know, Stephen DeLisio from Swampscott St. John's Prep and Salem Country Club is getting one bonus year at Duke, playing this spring. He hasn't played very well yet, but we're waiting to see him break through. So that's how that situation falls, and good for Chris Francoeur, who's an outstanding player, and I think he's going to be turning pro at some point. But yes, Chris has moved from the URI, you know, University of Rhode Island, to the University of Louisville, very aptly reported by our Nick Giannino in the Salem News.
There you go.
You know, there's a lot of kids transferring into Louisville sports programs this year. What's the big attraction? I've been to Louisville. Not a whole lot there.
Maybe they're all potential horse breeders. I don't know.
Good climate, I suppose.
Indeed. Much better climate in Kentucky, and they love that bluegrass, obviously.
There you go. All right. So, Gary, Masters, what, 4 weeks away now?
I believe so, and the countdown is really beginning, and if we still get some big events coming up, including the Tournament Players Championship, and this is the Florida Swing is this week, continuing this month, I should say. But yes, the Masters are getting ever so close, and we're all waiting to see if Dustin Johnson can repeat his fantastic performance, his record-setting performance last fall. Can't wait for it, guys. Cannot wait.
Okay. Gary, is Bruce Koepka, based on his recent performances, he finished second yesterday, didn't make some key putts in the second half of the last round to pull himself ahead. But is he positioning himself with his recent play into a position to maybe the favorite going into the Masters?
Oh, no question. I think, you know, he had he talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He had like a 15 or 16 month issue there with injuries. He didn't make a big deal about them, but they've been issues for him, and he's obviously just gearing himself up for the majors. He's won three or four of them already, and he has to be obviously one of the players to beat at Augusta. Should be a great battle there. McIlroy seems to be getting his game in shape. He had another strong week, not a great week, but a good week. And with McIlroy and Koepka and my boy Morikawa, we should have an awful lot of fun when we get to Masters Week.
Hey, Gary, I want to thank you for staying with us all winter, man, especially this year, which has been so bizarre. It's a little bit of comfort to have your voice on the other end of this phone line right here. So I really appreciate it. And we'll do it again next Monday?
Anything we can do. We can talk golf, guys. We all warm up.
There you go.
Now, Gary, we didn't get a chance to talk about the women and Nellie Korda coming in winning the Gainbridge LBGA on the heels of her sister winning the LGPA Tour season and their tournament of champions.
That's right, and of course, that's exactly right. And of course, we didn't mention that Annika Sörenstam played this past weekend in this LPGA in her first competition in about 10 years since
wow.
She retired, because she was playing on her home course, and she didn't play very well, but it was just great to have her there. She's a living legend, guys, in women's golf. Annika Sörenstam.
Love it. Okay, Gary, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, man.
Stay well and stay safe, guys.
You as well. Take care, Gary.
You.
That is Gary Larrabee, sports journalist, sports historian, and golf writer. Now, we'll take another break, and we'll come back with another of the same ilk. We'll talk to Mike Grenier, focusing primarily on basketball, but we'll have to see where this gale outside takes us. Tim, we'll be right back.
I'll be here.
Yes, and hopefully I will too. So, here we go. Let me just make sure I get this file going. There it is. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
So I'm glad I...
All right, we're back live, and Mike is checking in with Tim. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just asking Tim. I know he had some medical things to take care of, and I'm hoping he's feeling better.
Yeah, did you get my email response to you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It's
like
encouraging.
That?
Yeah, blame me. Okay, blame me. Like, hello. I mean, I'm not even within 10 miles of him, Mike, so I don't understand that at all.
You know, he's constantly jabbing you, you know?
I know, and I'm so good to him, and then he treats me like this. I just can't even believe it.
Well, he should respect someone who's a little older, you know?
And shorter. Yeah.
Exactly. Respect somebody who's a lot older.
Exactly.
Not that much. Now, let's not get silly, boys. Hey, Mike, let's start off here with, it has not been an encouraging week for the Boston Celtics since last we talked.
And, you know, it's funny, the thing that stuck out in my mind, and Tim, you look at the standings and you see the Celtics behind the New York Knicks, you know there's something wrong.
Yep.
The Knicks have had about two good teams since 1974, you know what I mean? And however, they made a coaching change that has been really a tremendous pickup for them. Tom Thibodeau, who I like to mention because I know him personally, and
absolutely,
he's a Salem State College guy who's come a long way since his college days, both as a player and as a coach, and was an NBA Coach of the Year when he was with the Chicago Bulls. And he's transforming a Knicks team that, you know, when you look at it on paper, is maybe half as talented as the Celtics. Right now, obviously, I don't think the Knicks are going to, obviously, you know, they may not even make the playoffs, but they're playing pretty well right now in comparison to the Celtics. And the Celtics have far more talent on their roster than the Knicks do, but yet they're half a game behind the Knicks in the standings. Now, do I expect that to change? Yes, I do. But it just goes to show you how disappointing, it underscores how disappointing the Celtics have been so far. And right, you mentioned they hit the low point when they were two games below 500. They've won their last couple of games. However, you know, they have escaped with a one-point win over a team that was 13-18 going into last night's game, the Washington Wizards, and Bradley Beal went for 46 on them. You know, so they're winning games, but they're not really dominating anybody, right, guys? They're not showing the characteristics they showed a year ago or 2 years ago.
And they dominate for a period. They build up these big leads, and then they forget to play.
Yeah, and you're right. They have a penchant for blowing leads. They did that against the Atlanta Hawks a couple of times, and you know they did it against the New Orleans Pelicans, which was a really low point. They just have not put anything together with any consistency, and you know. Actually, on the bright side, a couple of things I'd like to mention to you, see what you guys agree. All right, Kemba Walker's playing a little bit better the last couple of games. All right, overall, he's not shooting well this season, 38%. But last couple of games, he's come to life. You know, he scores over 20. He's hitting some big shots. He scored 31 the other night. And the guy that I want to underscore as having a positive impact so far, Robert Williams.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Right? Let's
yep.
talk about him because he's a... You know, it's funny, I had to check his height today because he's 6'8", but he has a 7'6" wingspan.
Yeah, he plays tall.
Yeah, and he plays taller than his height, and the thing you love about him, he swats shots, he's a shot blocker, which the Celtics haven't had. Tyskamp, not big enough to block shots, and Tristan Thompson's not athletic enough to block a lot of shots. But how often have we seen Robert Williams, he's very quick off his feet, you know, how often do we see him come over with the help defense and block a shot? And the Celtics badly need that. And not only that, he's got unbelievable athleticism, and we've seen it over the last several games in particular, right, where, you know, Peyton Pritchard or somebody will be driving and they'll dump it off to Williams. Hey, skies for the alley-oop shots,
yeah.
And he takes them at angles that look impossible to dunk, and he finishes off those plays. So I think that's been a real encouraging sign in the midst of all the doom and gloom that the Celtics have demonstrated so far.
Yeah,
what do you guys
think? I think he's been a bright spot. I've noticed that, too, and he's very aggressive. And for the time he's in there, he can seem to concentrate. And I want to ask you about that, Mike, as a little aside, because you know, Tim mentioned the fact that they dominate for so long and they seem to take the foot off the gas or whatever it is.
Yep.
When you covered guys like Larry Bird and John Havlicek and those guys, and Tim, please help me out here too. The idea of focus in a basketball game, how critical is that? Is it a real thing? In other words, you see Tom Brady, for example, as the prime example in all of sports, the man is always focused. I mean, from start to finish. Is that, you know what I'm trying to ask here? Is that a, do they tend to lose focus a little bit, or what,
no,
what might it be?
I think this team, you know, I mean, I don't think you compare the current Celtics at all because of the focus issue that you're mentioning here compares to the Larry Bird Celtics or the John Havlicek Celtics, the Bill Russell Celtics, because those teams were focused. And, you know, naturally, even the great teams let their guard down. However, on a consistent basis, those great Celtics teams were able to focus, and, you know, whether it was the starters or the bench. Now, the current Celtics team, they seem to drift in and out of focusing, and precisely because of what you mentioned. If how many times, like Tim said, have they had an 18 or 22 or 24 point lead, and next thing you know, it's down to 8 or 9, and the opposing team is smelling an upset. So they do have a problem concentrating and focusing. And part of that, of course, is when you take the starters out and you're relying on the bench to hold on to a lead, if the bench is not very good, that lead is going to dissipate. And that's happened a lot of times to the Celtics this season, where the bench has not been able to hold up their end of the bargain.
I got you.
And, you know, and Danny Ainge has admitted in the last 2 weeks that this is not a roster that's made to win a championship. So that makes you think he's going to make a move before the trade deadline, which comes up later this month. So, but focus is definitely an issue, Rick. I think it's definitely one of those intangibles that every team has it's part of their DNA, whether they focus or not. And some teams are able to do it, and some are not. I mean, so yeah, you see sometimes Jason Tatum. You know, you wonder what's happening with Jason Tatum. He's 8-for-38 shooting last couple of games, and you wonder if some of it is still COVID fatigue related, or whether part of it is focus, or you know, he's going to the All-Star game. He's going to be a starter. In my opinion, he doesn't deserve to be a starter, but that's because Kevin Durant, who's would have been the starter, has had to bow out, you know, with medical issues and COVID issues and all that. So Jason Tatum, I think, has sort of been like a little bit shaky, whereas Jaylen Brown has been more consistent.
You know, I watched the replay of Tatum last night, and he came across the key from the foul line from right to left, and he went up with a shot, and his body was all over the place. The legs were splayed, and yeah. I'm like, that's not him. Where's that nice, smooth elevation, body under control? It was just like everything was going everywhere, and just heaving up the shot and going, wow, that's somebody who's just like totally out of control. But what about the Celtics, we talked about, Larry Bird and the John Havlicek eras. If those guys had you by 10, they wanted it by 20. They wanted it by 30. They seldom took their foot off your neck. If they had you down, they were going to keep you down. You may close back a little bit, but once they get the lead up there, you weren't getting up off the floor. This team doesn't know how to keep the foot on the neck of the opponent and keep forcing the ball inside, staying aggressive on the board. They get the big lead, and they just start dropping back, throw a ball up, everybody back. And the other team says, okay, now if we can score a few baskets, they're going to crack, and they do.
I'll say that. Yeah, those are all great points. I will say this, though. When Marcus Smart comes back, some of those issues will be addressed, because he's the one tough guy who will hold his teammates accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Because he plays hard all the time. We don't like his shooting. I mean, he's not a great outside shooter, but he's a phenomenal defensive player, and he holds his teammates accountable. That's the one thing I've always liked about him, is the fact that he plays so hard, he plays physical, and he's the guy that does want to put his foot and his entire body on the opposing player's neck, because he wants to put teams away. And I think when he's on the floor playing that physical style that he plays, it kind of rubs off on his teammates. I don't think there's any question about that. So they've missed him tremendously in this last 4 or 5 weeks here. Remember, his injury was only supposed to be for 2 or 3 weeks. Now it's been like 5 weeks. They're talking about him coming back after the All-Star break, which is this Sunday. So they badly need him in the lineup, for the defensive reasons and for the reasons that you cite, Rick, when they have a lead, to be able to hold on to the lead. I mean, he accompanied the team on a road trip last week, Marcus Smart, and he got into the box score for picking up a technical foul from the bench. I mean, that's hard to do when you're not part of the team. He was in dress clothes, still not in uniform, and he picked up a technical foul. He doesn't like what's going on with the team, you could tell. He's just not happy.
I just think
he won't be happy until he's playing again. He's itching to play, but when he does play, he kind of inspires a certain kind of, let's get a little bit tougher, let's get a little bit rougher, let's play more physical.
Well, with him and Robert Williams on defense, I mean, he's going to feed off of Williams and vice versa, I think, and make Williams better. But Tim really put his finger on it, because I noticed the same thing, and it's a question to me. You know, in hockey, you're out there for 20 seconds, so you can't take a shift off.
Right.
You know, in football, if you're a receiver, you sort of can take a shift off, you know.
Yeah.
But in
unless you're playing with Brady.
Well, right, exactly. but you know, I'm looking at these guys and I'm thinking, you know, Tim, that's what they do. It's like Randy Moss taking some time off. They get a lead, and then what do? Two dribbles up court, and they clang it from 35, 45 feet out, and they're running backwards as the guy's shooting it.
Right. And you know what, Rick, and I'm sure, Tim, you would notice if you watch the games, and Rick, you too, the play that steams me up the most with the Celtics run, and this is at the end of each quarter, say 31 seconds left, 28, whatever the case may be, you know that Jason Tatum's going to take the ball up.
Yep.
He's going to dribble for 19,
yep,
20, 21 seconds. He's going to get double-teamed and launch a low-percentage shot.
Yep.
And that aggravates me more than any other play that the Celtics... I mean, is Brad Stevens actually condoning this? He must be, because Tatum seems to have the carte blanche to do anything he wants at the end of each quarter. Now, I love to see the stat on how many of those shots he hits, because we know that Jason Tatum's a shot maker. But if you move the ball from side to side and get the ball back in those last 24 seconds of a quarter, you might end up with a much higher percentage shot.
Right.
I do not understand him dribbling the ball over half court and then eating up the clock, and everyone inside the building, outside the building, and all of America that might be watching and actually, they know that Jason Tatum's going to take the shot.
And all the ships at sea.
Right? The defense knows it, too.
Coach, you want to finish it up?
Why not do what the Celtics do? You run the weave until the other team gets dizzy, and then you simply have one guy cut to the hoop, and it's an easy layup.
Yeah. I just don't get that. It's a low percentage play. It happens in so many quarters, and it's just like, yeah, it's just 2 points. But in the long run, it's just 2 points. But it just shows you their mentality. They're not showing much imagination right now, and Brad Stevens has to come up with something that will make that play more effective at the end of each quarter.
I think it's about time people started taking a look at what Stevens is doing, because these kids, you know, if they've maxed out already, then all is lost, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, you talk about, Mike, it's just 2 points, but when you lose by one, that two makes a big difference.
Of course, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And last night, they could have lost by one. I mean, you know, Jason Tatum did bounce back. I mean, he was phenomenal in the final minute of the play last night. He made some acrobatic shots. And you know, of course, they did the double team on Bradley Beal in the corner. Beal could have won the game for Washington. He already had 46 points at the time. And that was a great double team. And he ended up taking an off-balance shot that bounced off the rim. And the Celtics walked away with a win. But, I mean, you can't be too excited about a win over a team that was 13-18. Well, a year ago, I want to say there were 10 or 11 games over 500 at this point a year ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were hammering teams at certain times. And this year, even the games they win, they're winning by 4, 5, 3 points. These next two games before the All-Star break, they're playing the Clippers tomorrow night, the West Coast team that has a great record. And they're playing the Raptors, who, of course, are based in Tampa, got off to a terrible start. But now they're a 500 team. So the Celtics need to get on that horse here and win these last couple of games heading into the All-Star break, just to have a better feeling about themselves heading into the second half of the year.
What is the All-Star configuration? Do they play on the weekend?
Yeah, they play. It's just a one-day thing. You know, I used to stretch out over the weekend, and you'd have, like, celebrities,
right,
you know, playing ball, and you'd have the skills competition and, of course, the three. Now it's all condensed to one day, so
okay,
they're going to have the skills, and they're going to have the three-point shooting and all that, and then the game itself, which, you know, the game is, you know, players take it easy. It could end up being 178 to 167, you know, because players don't play defense. But it has been condensed to one day. I think that's a great move on the NBA's part because the regular season schedule is, and we've seen teams play back-to-backs a lot this year.
Right.
Every team has been, you know, have to deal with the back-to-back games. A Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, whatever. So it has been of a strength. That should be played to the Celtics' strength because they're a young team. But obviously it hasn't played to their strength because they're playing 500 basketball.
Well, take some notes, Mike, and we'll talk again on Monday.
That sounds great, Rick. And in the meantime, I'm hoping you can line up a vaccine.
Yes, me too, brother. Me too. All right, thank you, Mike. Talk to you later.
You're very welcome. Yep, bye-bye.
Very good.
Take care, Tim. Take care for yourself.
Yep. All right. I will do that.
That is Mike Renier, sports journalist and a basketball analyst. And, Coach, you got the final couple minutes here. What do you want to mention?
My Connecticut women, number one in the country.
Back on top.
Back on top. They've been ripping people up lately. Because they're in, whatever conference they're playing in, unless it's the SEC, it's a soft conference. But, let's see. They're going to be at halftime. And I'm looking for a score. But it must be a big score because we got another game on.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right.
They've been beating up on people pretty well. And I think it took time because they've got a couple of new players. They got a sensational freshman who has just really been out of sight.
All right, we got high school football coaches coming up quite a bit this week on MSO News Sports. Hope you'll be with us and spread the word, let people know. You can also email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. And, Tim, maybe next week we can take 30 seconds or so to talk about the Red Sox prospects.
Yeah, well, they lost their first game, but they have a few more underneath their belt. We'll have a little bit better idea of what some of these guys are potentially going to offer them.
All right. Thank you, Tim. You stay safe, and you get in line as well. I'll talk to you next week.
Well, I got my second one already scheduled, so I'm just waiting for the
second one. Everybody's ahead of me. All right, Coach, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay, Rick.
Talk to you later, Tim. Take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. That is Tim Kearns, who is our Goodwill Ambassador here at MSO News Sports, as well as our Super Sports Analyst. Appreciate everything that he does. My thanks to Bill Newell as well. Be sure to check out the Salem News Sports Writers podcast just below this broadcast here, as Bill talks with the Salem News Sports Writers, as well as Nick Kukuru of the Gloucester Daily Times. And, yep, gotcha. There we go. And check in with us, please, early and often, as they say. We got plenty of news and sports features coming up rather exclusively here on MSO during the week. So I thank you for being with us. And also a special thanks to our coaches, our high school coaches tonight, to Beverly High School football coach Andrew Morenci and Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan, as they prepare for the opener coming up a week from Friday. This is MSO News Sports. It's been North Shore Sports Night. On behalf of Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, and Marty Smith, I'm Rick Moore. Stay safe.